This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
I've said all I had to say, and after tonight, I don't need to say no more. All I want to do is prove to the world that I am the best. I'm the baddest man on the planet, and hey, whenever they're ready, we'll be ready.
That is Deontay Wilder following his knockout victory over Luis Ortiz over the weekend, talking about the potential fight with Anthony Joshua. Will that fight happen? Everyone's wondering. Everyone's waiting. I want to see it. I think everyone else wants to see it. I know our next guest wants to see it. We head to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Showtime lead boxing analyst Al Bernstein joining us here on the program. Al, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I am good. Somewhere in Tibet, there is a monk who has never watched television once in his life who also wants the Joshua Wilder fight.
Well, before we get to that fight, let's recap what you guys witnessed on Saturday at Barclays Center, because my goodness, what an amazing fight you guys had. Let's start with the seventh round and what a moment that was for Wilder in his career when he was clearly out on his feet. Luis Ortiz was trying to shock the world in a way and get a victory, but what did that tell you about Wilder and his talents to be able to recover from that beating?
Well, you know, the irony is it was not to beat the Joshua horse to death, but it was very similar to when Anthony Joshua was in all kinds of trouble against Vladimir Klitschko. And we wondered how would Anthony Joshua come through those moments. And we certainly wondered about how would Deontay Wilder be able to deal with that. And he was able to. You know, he held, which was a very good tactic. And that, you know, when you're in trouble, the idea is you should hold, don't necessarily fight back unless you can. Although, ironically, Ortiz changed the fight by fighting back when he got hit with a big punch because he countered with the right hook. But usually it's a better idea to hold. Wilder did that very well. He rode out the round. Then he got a little help from the New York State Athletic Commission when, inexplicably, at the beginning of the next round, instead of them having looked at him carefully in between rounds, when the round started, the doctor came up and took about 15 or 20 seconds to look at him, which gave him an extra 15 or 20 seconds to kind of, you know, regroup himself. I'm not sure that made the difference, but it was inappropriate nonetheless. And Deontay Wilder showed us the grit and determination that that people, you know, were saying would be there if he got in trouble, and it did. And that seventh round, of course, in many ways validated him, but it probably also made it easier to make a future fight because somebody may look at that and say, okay, well, I see now he's vulnerable. If that was me in there, I would have stopped him.
Yeah. It's an interesting style that Wilder has, this clubbing kind of, you know, flailing in some ways, and he showcased it in the 10th round, and Luis Ortiz either ran out of gas or just got caught one too many times and wasn't able to withstand the pounding that Wilder gave him. How did you see the 10th round, and why did things change and go the opposite direction?
You know, Deontay Wilder is always one punch away from changing a fight. Usually it's the right hand, and when he got in a good right hand against Ortiz that hurt him, and that changed the equation, and then he was able to go after him. And as you point out, when he feels the fighter is hurt, his way of going after him is very unorthodox. And as Mauro Ranallo, one of my mates on the broadcast, said at the end of the show, he said, there are great trainers rolling over in their graves, over the way Deontay Wilder fights, but he ends up being successful nonetheless. And it is true, he's got a very, very unorthodox style, but somehow manages to get the job done. And, of course, power is the equalizer for him.
Mm. Talking about
power and his physical attributes, the height and reach, and a certain athleticism, a kind of a quirky athleticism that he has.
We're talking to Al Bernstein of Showtime here on Pushing the Odds. Before the fight, Jim Gray sat down with Wilder, and he mentioned something about an illness potentially in his camp. And it was sort of a weird, he wasn't asked about it. He brought it up. He put it out there. He was asked about his weight. He weighed in the lightest he'd ever weighed in at. Was that kind of a premeditated, I'm going to put this storyline out there in case I lose? statement?
That's a good question. He didn't do it quite in that way, but nonetheless, that was the first time. Well, when we talked to him at the fighter meeting, there was no mention of that. We did ask him about his weight, and he said, "No, I don't worry about weight." And you know, but none. Of course, we didn't realize at our fighter meeting he hadn't weighed in yet, so we didn't realize he was coming quite that light. And so there really hadn't been that many chances for people to ask him about his weight after he got weighed in. So that was kind of one of the first opportunities. And then we heard that there was a little bit where you picked up him in the ring saying, "Hey, we're sick as a dog, but we got it done." You know, so there must have been some kind of flu or something that happened in this camp, and that may have been part of the reason why he lost some weight. I don't know if he had lost, if that would have been talked about. He didn't really mention it afterwards as if, "Hey, look what I overcame." So, But I think it probably did happen. And I think that was probably part of the reason why his weight was down.
Al, you mentioned the Klitschko-Joshua fight, and look, that was in front of 90,000 people in London, and so we all were looking forward to it. We all knew about the hype, and we knew we were going to be in for a spectacle, and then Joshua got hurt. He was able to recover and ultimately come back and knock out Klitschko. On Saturday night, we thought the Ortiz-Wilder fight was going to deliver. We weren't guaranteed of it, and you guys were up against a UFC event, so people were wondering, okay, where are our combat sports going to go, or combat sports fans going to go? And I'll tell you what, you guys dominated the night. The reaction on Twitter and social media was tremendous. How much did Wilder help himself from just a sales perspective with a victory like that on Saturday night?
I think quite a bit. That's a very good point. All those points you raised are interesting ones. You know, we live in a society now. We're trying to grab anybody's attention. There's so many things that grab our attention away that trying to get people to pay attention to your event or what you're doing is very difficult. And Deontay Wilder, let's be honest, has not fought. And a couple times he's tried. You know, he went over to Russia to fight Povetkin. If Povetkin tested positive, he was going to fight Ortiz earlier, but he tested positive. So he's tried to get who he can in the ring. But we haven't really seen him in against somebody that we thought had the power and the moxie to test him. This was going to be that. And even though the fight started a little slow, and by the way, in our opinion, though the judges didn't quite see it that way, Wilder, I thought, had lost a number of those early rounds. But this fight turned into exactly what everyone hoped it would. And so I think Deontay Wilder did a lot to help his brand. And I believe that the important parts, though, are what's coming up. In other words, he did a lot to help his brand. But now is not the time for them to take their foot off the gas pedal. Now is the time to do more interviews, more promotion, more social media, more everything to try and get his name out there, because they should take advantage of this moment.
I completely agree. You're talking Al Bernstein of Showtime. And Al, we had Brendan Schaub on the program on Friday, and I asked him the question, you know, in your opinion, as a guy who watches, you know, a lot of combat sports, do you believe that the Wilder-Joshua fight will happen in 2018? And he told us point blank that fight's not going to happen, in his opinion, in 2018. So I'll pose the same question to you. Now that Wilder has defeated Ortiz and has done so in pretty impressive fashion, is there pressure to get the Joshua fight done on both sides?
I think there is. I don't know if it's impossible for 2018. It's a little more likely in 2019. Joshua, of course, is fighting Anthony Parker on March 31st, a fight that we'll also have on Showtime, which is going to be exciting. And if Joshua wins that fight, there's a couple of different potential scenarios. There's a possibility that Joshua would come to the United States for one fight, maybe against Big Baby Miller or somebody, so he could at least have come to the U.S. and gotten here to fight, in front of U.S. fans, or they may make the Wilder fight. I personally think it's better to make the Wilder fight. For those people that think that they should wait one more fight, I have two words: Bo Lewis.
Hmm. Interesting.
And that was a fight that was supposed to be made, ironically also involving a British fighter. They waited too long. then people lost, never got made, and boxing got robbed of what would truly have been, I think, a tremendous fight and a good one. So I, you know, Bob Arum used to joke about fights needing to marinate sometime. Yeah, sometimes they do. I think this is marinated enough. And what these two fighters have done in the ring, and especially now this last fight, I think has demonstrated that that it's time to get them in. And also, let's be honest, you know, these are two really, really good, but potentially, the two fighters who were very good, but also have frailties. And
right.
So that's what makes them really fun to watch, but it also tells you that you are always one punch away from that great Joshua Wilder fight not having the same the same flair that it would.
Huh. Al, I get at her on this. I just looked at this. The Sun spoke to Wilder's camp this morning, and the Sun over in England is reporting that Joshua and Wilder's is planned for T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas later this year. Have you heard anything like that?
I haven't heard that specifically, but I think that's very possible, you know. They could go if they wanted to keep the fight in the UK, they could. Cardiff, Wales, the arena in Cardiff, Wales has a retractable roof. Oof. They could get their 80,000 people can fit in there. But I think with the prices that they can charge, the glide gate wouldn't be quite as big as that 90,000 or 80,000, but I think they know the glide gate would be big, and also the idea of having it in Las Vegas is something that adds to a certain, the luster of the fight in a certain way. So that's interesting what they're reporting, but I don't know that they're talking to the Wilder camp, but Eddie Hearn, the promoter of Joshua, certainly has the whip hand on this, and they're British papers, so I would feel more comfortable about that if the story quoted Eddie Hearn saying that.
Interesting. Al, thank you for the time. I know you're really busy. Great call on Saturday night. Can't wait to hear you coming up on the 31st for Joshua taking on Parker.
Yeah, we've got something this weekend. We're going to be down in San Antonio for Mikey Garcia and Sergio.
Oh, cool.
So we got some fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, Mikey's been on this show twice, actually. So, yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for reminding me about that fight. Have a great call down there. Appreciate it, Al.
Take care, bye.
That is Al Bernstein on the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline from Showtime. All right, so I will give you that report on the other side. The Sun in the UK is reporting Sin City Showdown, Anthony Joshua Showdown with Deontay Wilder planned for T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas if he gets past Joseph Parker. I'll read you the quotes coming out of the camp for Deontay Wilder coming up next. ESPN Nation Radio.